As we make the turn onto the home stretch of the 2016 presidential election, many have noticed a trend in the news media. While every minute element of Donald Trump's life and character have been placed under a microscope with no insight that's provided by Trump or his supporters given any regard, life and actions of Hillary Clinton, they've received the exact opposite treatment, except by my next guest. Along with being a best-selling author multiple times, he is the former editor-in-chief of the New York Times Magazine, contributing editor to Vanity Fair's latest best-selling book, Guilty as Sin, focuses on the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign and Clinton Inc. As a side note, Edward Klein. Thanks for being here as always, Ed.
It's great to be with you, Chris.
EdwardKlein.com is where you can check out all of Ed's writings and work. And I guess in sort of a tag team with my what I referred to in the introduction, it is said that the majority of Trump supporters really don't care about his supposed character flaws.
Right.
Can the same be said about Hillary supporters? They primarily really don't care about her flaws and ethics.
Well, you know, I think there's a big difference between the way the mainstream media has been treating Trump's so-called character flaws, demanding that all the Republican senatorial and House candidates repudiate him, and the way the media has been treating the revelations that are coming out on WikiLeaks about Trump, about Clinton Incorporated, and how the pay-to-play operation worked with the Clinton Foundation when she was Secretary of State. And I haven't heard a peep from the mainstream media about asking Democratic candidates to repudiate Hillary Clinton.
Because as you write in Guilty as Sin, well, she lives up to the title when it comes to, and this is something that we hold near and dear in New Jersey political history, the pay-to-play concept.
That's right, yeah. And it's now being, you know, for about a year, there was questions about why did she destroy 33,000 emails and claim that they were personal when we know for sure that there must have been a lot of, you know, business, so-called business or official matters in those emails. And now we know why, because she was covering up this whole sordid mess in the Clinton Foundation where Bill Clinton was getting special treatment from Clinton donors and making millions and millions of dollars in speeches and getting positions on boards of directors. And everybody was raking off money from the foundation, which was not even separate from Bill Clinton's own private piggy bank and Hillary Clinton's Secretary of Stateship.
Last time you were on, when Guilty as Sin first came out, we talked about Hillary's health, and we theorized what, you know, what we knew for factually by our own doctors, what her physical state of affairs were in a variety of ways, heart, vascular, even mental health. And a lot of people were saying, well, how can she possibly show up and do anything meaningful, 90 minutes live TV, no commercial breaks? But yet, there she was. It was almost like a time machine, and she was revitalized. And, you know, her performance versus what we've seen in the various clips of her being unable to negotiate a three-stair staircase. And she was strong and forceful and came through the debates, at least physically, rather strongly. Was that a surprise to you? Do you have any knowledge of, you know, how can we see someone so frail and blacking out and coughing fits and yet and what is a highly stressful situation of live television for a long period of time, and most of it improv, she came
through. Well, Chris, you're asking the same question that Michelle Obama and Barack Obama asked about 3 weeks ago when Hillary showed up at the White House asking Michelle to coordinate her appearances, which she did yesterday, as you know, for Hillary, gave a speech for Hillary, with the campaign chairman, Hillary's campaign chairman, Robbie Mook, or Mook, I guess you pronounce it. And Michelle refused to do that. She said she would show up at her time, you know, her time and place of choosing. And at that point, Hillary started coughing. This was in the Oval Office of the White House. This was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And the coughing fit did not end and got more and more convulsive. The president had to call a doctor from the White House doctor pool to attend to her. And that night, a friend of mine was with the president and first lady in the family quarters, and they were discussing her health just the way you have just now. And they came to the conclusion there was absolutely no way that the Hillary Clinton that they saw, a woman in failing health, clearly not able even to hardly stand on her feet sometimes, was the same woman who showed up at these debates and stood for 90 minutes without a, you know, looking fit as a fiddle. And they concluded exactly what Donald Trump concluded, that she must be on some sort of enhancing booster drug. There was no other explanation for it.
And we've all seen, I think, too, that one video of her, I think it's her left eye, that just all of a sudden starts not just wandering, I mean, basically rolling into the back of her head, which a lot of physicians are saying, well, that's further proof of some neurological difficulties.
That's right. You're absolutely right. So I know from my sources that her hands, she has a tremor in her hands, and that she consults with doctors at the New York Presbyterian Hospital on a regular basis, going in and out of a private entrance so nobody can see her. This is a woman who clearly has serious health issues that have been covered up, and if she is elected president, there's no guarantee that she'll be able to actually fulfill her duties for those next 4 years.
Talking with Edward Klein, best-selling author, former New York Times Magazine editor-in-chief, Vanity Fair contributing editor, edwardklein.com. Is his website, his latest book, Guilty as Sin, and you were listening to Issues and Ideas. Knowing what you know of Donald Trump, you've covered him for a long time. You've been able to get close to him, at least journalistically speaking, and have access to a point where many others do not have. What do you see as Donald Trump's actions over these next few, the final days of the campaign, based upon what you know of him? Because the polls... She's not pulling away, which is going to be frustrating to her. It's going to be a fight on Election Day, and I think it's going to be a long night, quite frankly. And that was not part of the plan. And Trump is not in the lead, which is going to be frustrating for him as well.
Well, you know, when he sticks to his policies, when he reiterates his talking points about immigration, strengthening America at home and abroad, making sure that the Supreme Court has justices who interpret the Constitution, not interpret their own, you know, ideology. When he sticks to those points, he does very, very well, and he starts closing the gap, as we've seen, between him and Mrs. Clinton, and he looks like a guy who could win. Then something happens, and he takes the bait, and he goes off message. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the last 12 days of this campaign. Nobody can predict. His daughter can't predict it. Kellyanne Conway, his campaign manager, can't predict it. And I certainly can't predict it, because if Donald sticks to his knitting, as they say, if he actually continues on the path of hitting these major points, law and order, America first, all those points, he has a shot at winning this election. It's going to be hard, but he has a shot. If he goes off message again in a big way and does what he's done, like with the women and Miss Machado, the Miss Universe, or the judge who's had Hispanic ethnicity, then Hillary's going to win. So it's up to Donald now. It's his to lose, and if he plays his cards right, it's possible he can win.
Maybe the one advantage is their respective voter bases, where we kind of understand where Hillary is not the preferred candidate by a large group, especially the younger, the millennials on the Democratic side. Maybe is it to Trump's advantage where her voters are more complacent and his voters are more angry and proactive?
I think that's true. There's no question that his voters are much more motivated. And he's going to get those voters to come out there. They want to see him win. Now, she's got problems with young people who don't like her, and probably like her less now than they ever have, knowing what they know about her having fixed the Democratic National Committee before Bernie Sanders even got into the race.
Oh, yeah.
If you recall. She's not going to get as great a percentage of the minority vote that Barack Obama did. The only thing that could save her is her very well-funded ground game, literally almost driving voters to the polls. We'll see what happens, but I think it'll all come down to Donald Trump's motivated voters and Hillary Clinton's ground game.
And if you do want to know the inside, and I do mean deep inside details of Clinton Inc., Ed's writings is the place to go to, and his latest Guilty as Sin, edwardkline.com. Ed, always an education, always fun talking with you. Thanks for being here.
Same here. Thank you for having me, Chris.